List of assignments. Activate. 11 and 12-year-olds, you have a lesson. You are going to be dismissed in a second. Okay, you can go. Grace kids and the rest of the Activate kids, head on out of here. And one more thing. As we have gathered together, we realize that God has given us so much. And so, as a church, if you would want to participate with us in giving, there are boxes on the side, there's a kiosk in the back, and there's a text message that you can give to. So let's just pray that, Father, you would continue to expand the things that you are doing here, Lord God, and that you would continue, as has been prayed, that the eyes of our hearts would be opened and that we would be able to see you more and more. Amen. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Bob Menser. I'm one of the teaching elders here. And I begin this morning with an apology. Yeah. On July 24th at 2 a.m., my message changed. Now, you may think, well, that's not a big deal. Well, yeah, it is, because about 2 weeks ahead of time, I turn all of my stuff in to the media team, and they go to work and put it all together. And I walked in this morning, and I said, nope, it's different. And that's really unusual for me, but I really felt that the Lord was doing, wanted some different things that I needed to touch on. And secondly, I will make reference to part one, which was last week. And I don't have time to really go back over all of that, so I apologize if I use some references to last week's message and you think, what in the world's he talking about? I'll try to clear all of that up, but I'm not sure I'll be successful. So our message is entitled Act 5, and today we're calling it Transformation. But before I get there, I want to give you an idea that, again, when I was young, I had a lot to do with theater and really enjoyed it, and was thinking, if I would to break down Scripture, how would I do that? And I did it in this fashion. Act 1 is creation. Act 2 is the fall. And then we have this long act, Israel, Act 3. And then we have Act 4. And Act 4 ends with an empty tomb. And it is really the beginning of Act 5. Act 5 is when God begins to do new things. And let's look at the Revelation chapter, or the verse that I have in Revelation. And then I'll break this down just a little bit. But this is by way of review. And he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give the one who thirsts from the spring of water of life without cost. And whoever comes, whoever overcomes, will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Now, there are several things that we need to look at in this passage. And he says, I'm making all things new. And we have to understand how new and what a change that took place. It's the beginning of a new act. And he begins by saying, we begin with a new covenant. I'm making a new covenant. It's one who's been made in my blood. He said, we're not having the Levitical priesthood anymore. We have a new priesthood. You are all priests. What a change. He said, oh, the temple. We don't have the temple. The temple's going to be destroyed in 70 AD. But there is a new temple. You are the temple. Behold, I am doing something new. I'm doing something that hasn't been done before. I'm giving you a new law. We no longer have the Torah. We have the law of the Spirit. Our relationship changes. You can call me Father, and I will call you my children. That's a relationship change. Can you imagine? I did a quick search on this. God is only referenced in the Old Testament 8 times as Father. And I would wager that whenever any of you begin to pray, you have Father in your prayer. My Father, listen to me. And when Jesus was teaching the disciples, can you imagine how shocking that was to them? Teach us to pray. Okay. Our Father. What? We get to call him our Father? That denotes a relationship. Yeah. I'm doing something new. I want you to behold it. Oh, yeah, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on anyone who wants it. I will give them that water of life. And when he says, whoever desires it, do you understand? You're a Gentile. You're not supposed to be participants in this covenant. And yet, I'm doing something new. This is Act 5. Well, he doesn't say Act 5, but this is something new. This is the new creation. This is the beginning. And you, Jesus, is the firstborn from the dead. He is the Alpha. He is the beginning. And you are his first fruits. His first fruits of this new creation. We don't have to go sacrifice to have forgiveness. He said, it's taken care of at the cross. You are washed. You are clean. You are forgiven. We don't have to have a day of atonement. The day of atonement happened. And he's given us a new tongue. This didn't happen in the old days. So when he says, I'm doing something new, it's a different act. And we are no longer spectators, but we are participants. And so that's what I did when we were going through scene 1. You know, an act is divided into different scenes, and I'm just reviewing scene 1. And what was important about scene 1 is that, in reference to my own life, I had not tried out for a part, and the director called me and said, I want you to take this part. And I said, I didn't even try out. And he said, do you want the part or not? I didn't even know what the part was. Yeah, I'll take it. And it's what he's saying to you. I have a part for you. Well, I don't know whether I want the part. I'm offering it to you. Whoever thirsts, it's open. I'm giving it to you. And all you have to do is say yes. Okay, let's go to scene two by way of review. And in that 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'm going to have to do that a lot. And sometimes they won't even have it up there. That's okay. In any good play, when we move from scene one to scene two, we pick up new things in scene two, but we also reinforce some of the things that were shown us in scene one. And so in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." Paul writes in the Galatians 5:15, and they may have that, they may not. It's pretty short. He says, "For there's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision." We're not talking about the law here anymore. We're talking about a new creation, a new thing that God's doing. And he said, it's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, but it's a new creation. And that's what we need to be focusing on. That's what we need to have our eyes at. What is Jesus doing? Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when 5,000 were saved, he quotes from Joel, and he says, "And it shall come about after this, that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions, and even on the male and the female servants, I will pour out my spirit." God's poured out his spirit. You have to understand, in the old days, it was for just a few people when God did it. And now, and sometimes we just take that for granted. Oh, yeah, I'm filled with the Spirit. Big deal. No, it leads you into a new life. It leads you into something new. It leads you away from the old and into the new. And then we switch to scene three. And scene three is from Romans. I don't know whether we have that or not. Romans 6, 3, 4. You might. "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." Paul is painting a picture here. When you surrender your life to Christ, you say, "I need to die to myself and be raised new with him." And he says, and that's what it is. So when you are put, and we watched Jeremiah last week, be baptized. And Paul says, that's the old man coming out as the new man. And I would say to those of you who have not been baptized, that's an outward sign that you have said, "I am declaring my life is hid in Christ Jesus, that I am no longer the old man, but I am the new man." So, with all of that said, that's by way of review. Transformation. What a great word. Unless it's happening to you. I was trying to think about, I have all kinds of thoughts about transformation. But the one that came foremost to me, you're not going to like this, it's Optimus Prime. Now, some of you know who Optimus Prime is. He's been around since about 1984. And my son won in a raffle an Optimus Prime. And an Optimus Prime is the name of this transformer. And you get it, and you look at it, and it is a truck. And you pull this, and you twist that, and you pull the wheels this way, and twist it around that way, and it transforms into a robot. Something entirely different. And that's what God is doing with us. He said, you are an old man, and I am doing something new, and I am going, he's the master, he's going to twist and turn. Now, just by way of confession, you don't want to give me one of those things, because man, I don't know which one to pull and twist it. And you can get somebody like Jack over here. He'd probably go, there it is. Thinking, how did he do that? How did he do that? Or one of the other things I thought about was a Rubik cube. I still have one that's been laying around for about 35 years. Still the... I can't figure them out. I mean, do you know what the record is? I have to look that up. Timon Kolosinski can do a Rubik cube in 5.92 seconds. World record. 5.92 seconds. That's nothing. A guy by the name of Tommy Cherry. He does his in 12 seconds, blindfolded. Blindfolded. How do you do that? Transforming it. 12 seconds. Transformation. And then one more example, and then we'll move on, just because I had a good time looking all of this up, is Michelangelo. Have you ever seen, I've only seen pictures of the sculpture that he drew or that he carved out of marble called David. It's stunning. And you know what he started with? He started with a piece of marble that everybody said, you will not get anything out of that piece of marble. It's not worth carving. Yeah. See, that God says, oh, yeah, there's in this marble, there's hidden there new. There's hidden there something. They ask him, and I don't know whether this story is true, but it just makes a good story. They ask him how in the world he did it, because they were just spellbound by it. It took 3 years to do it. And he said, I just cut away everything I didn't need. That's what God does. He cuts away everything you don't need for this new life, this new creation, this new walk. So I know that this is going to be really elementary, but I want to go through a few stages of transformation, just so you get an idea of what occurs. From Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, the scripture says, even when you were dead in your transgressions, he made you alive together with Christ. For by grace you've been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You were dead. And he said, I'm going to bring life. And he breathed into you his spirit, and you came alive. Peter, and we do have this one. Peter says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And oftentimes, that's our testimony. I was dead. I accepted Christ. And I became a new person. In Colossians 1:13, it says, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. You're part of a new kingdom. I was thinking about the people who went on the mission journey, and you left the U.S. of A., and 17 hours later, you landed in Bangkok, Thailand, and you get off the plane, and you said, where am I? This doesn't look like home. When we've been transferred into this new kingdom, we have a new set of mores. We have a new set of things to learn. Paul says, put some of those old things away. Put anger and bitterness and hatred, envy and strife. Put those away. That's part of the old man. And put on these new things. Love, care, gentleness, kindness. Put them on. You're in a new kingdom. You operate under different rules now. Because you are in his kingdom. You've been transferred there. Whoa, when did that happen? It happened when you said, Lord, I need you. I surrender. You were born again. And he said, I'm transferring you into my kingdom. Well, wouldn't that be great if it was just that simple entirely? But I'll tell you what, when I got transferred, I brought some of the baggage with me. I did. I brought some things that shouldn't have come. But I liked them. They were a part of me. I grew up with them. So, yeah, I'm going to take this bag. I'm going to take this bag. Oh, this one's got some pride in it. I love pride. So I'm going to take some pride. And we bring all these things sometimes with us. And God says, oh, why did you bring that? You don't need that. Oh, Lord, yes, I do. I'm just going to have to chip it away. I'm going to chip it away. Well, what do you mean? That might hurt. It only hurt for a while. And he starts to chip. And we talk about that in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely." Now, that word sanctify is a really churchy word. And it means chip away. Get rid of what doesn't belong there. And so he says, "May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit, your soul, and your body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So he's going to chip away my body, my soul, my spirit. So my body probably are those bad habits that I brought along with me. God says, I want to chip away at those. Or my soul, my thinking. Do I think new kingdom-like, or do I think old kingdom-like? How do you think? A lot of times, we just love to think old kingdom stuff when we've been transferred to the new kingdom. And he said, I want to sanctify your spirit. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and truth. So you look at my words, and my words will transform your spirit. We are a people who are being transformed. Okay. Scene change. We got that scene. And now we have a different scene, and we're going to start in Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Well, that's going back to Act 1. That's the creation. But it got messed up. But in the new creation, he said, oh, you are walking in newness. You need to be an image bearer. An image bearer? Yeah, you're my children. You need to walk in my image. You need to behave in my image. You need to think in my image. You need to represent me, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the end, the Savior, the one who has called you out of darkness and into his light. Second Corinthians 3:18 reads, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit." See, our role in this new kingdom is to be transformed into his image. Not into my image. Not into Judah's image. Not into Hulk Hogan's image. Into his image. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." See, if you don't get anything out of this message at all today, I just want you to understand that you are an image bearer. You are to walk as a representative of him. Now, I've told this story a couple of times, but one more won't hurt. And Alan, if you're numbering it, you'll remember it, okay? That's a private joke between Alan and I, but he gets it. He's laughing. I was having, this is 15 years ago, maybe not that long, I don't remember. I was working, and I was having a really bad day. I mean, really bad. If it was going to go wrong, it went wrong. Even things that wouldn't go wrong went wrong, and it was just overwhelming. And my secretary came in, and she said, oh, I hate to deliver this news, but... And she gave me one more piece of bad news. And I swore. I swore. And she turned around and looked at me and she said, I've worked for you for 10 years and I never heard you swear. And I thought, oh, the image bearer did not do well there. When we are out and we are about and we are in the face of public and friends, do we bear his image? Do we carry it with us? Romans 13 says, put on Christ. Put him on. Don't put the old man on. The old man, he's got baggage, and God wants to chip away at that baggage. But this new man is made in the image of the one who created you, who gave you new birth. We're to walk in that. When you leave here today, I want you to say, I am an image bearer. And the people I come in contact with, whether they're at work or play, I have an image. Oh, I'm not perfect. Everybody makes a mistake. Yeah, they do. I swore. And my secretary said, I never heard you swear. But she probably didn't. And I thought, well, there went 10 years worth of witnessing. Not really, but I think before I run out of time, and I'm sorry, I'm not going to get all of this done. One of the things, can you go to the slide with the transformed head? That's it. One of the toughest things for us to do is to transform our thinking. Because the world wants us to think like the world. And as you recall, Judah last week, or 2 weeks ago, was talking about all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what the world wants. The world wants you to think that way. It wants you to lust after things. It wants you to be filled with pride. Interesting, yesterday we were at a frisbee tournament. There you are. Yeah, I was hunting for you. And Will Rush was on one of the teams. And they were killing the other team. And he was running around saying, don't get proud. Don't get proud. Don't get proud. Play the game, but don't get proud. Stay humble. That was it. Thank you. Sorry. Misquoted. Stay humble. Whoa. And I loved it. Because when you're ahead and you're killing the other team, it's easy to get a little prideful. Whew. Look at us. You guys are nothing. you are an ant that we could squish. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. That's not in the kingdom. The kingdom thinking from Ephesians 4:23 says that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, that you may be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So you are a new creation. You are not improved. You are new, in a new creation, transferred into his kingdom. You are an image bearer. Think like an image bearer. Romans 12:2, and you have that one. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable is perfect. The renewing of your mind is essential. Because as you're going to think in old ways, you're going to behave in old ways, and you are going to do old way things. God says, I'm chipping away at some of those old thoughts. And I'm making it brand new. I'm sanctifying you. Well, I think I'll end there. But I left a couple of things with you, but one more thing I want to leave you is that, and if you would bring that slide up, walking in newness of life. We need to be able to walk. And what that means is we need to walk in the Spirit. And we need to be attuned to what the Spirit is telling us, what the Spirit is not telling us, but what the world is telling us. Walking in newness of life, Paul says, don't walk as unwise, but as wise. You need to be wise. Wise as serpents, gentle as doves. That's your charge. You're an image bearer. Be wise. Walk as children of light. Walk in a manner that is worthy of him. Walk in a manner that is pleasing to him. Now, that's the charge. And then I'll let you meditate on those five. Walk in a manner worthy. Walk in a manner pleasing. Walk in a wise manner. Walk as children of light. Walk by the Spirit. And you may be sitting there saying, man, is this heavy? No. It's not heavy. It's what he does. He's begun a good work in you. He's going to continue it. He's going to chip away until you look a lot more like the one who created you. Philippians 3:1-12, and we do have that one there. This is one of my favorite ones. This is one I always fall back on. Because I go, Paul, the Apostle Paul, the great apostle, who stood with the, who endured so much for the sake of the gospel. He endured all sorts of poor treatment, torture, exclusion, scandal, And yet when he's writing to the Philippians, he says, not that I have already attained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Not that I've already attained, but I press on. I press on. I press on. And I'm leaving you with that. Press on. Not that you've attained. He's begun a good work. You are his workmanship. But press on. Press on to lay hold of this new creation that he's given us. You, the firstborn. You, the fruit. You, who have received his Spirit. You, who are in this new creation, that the old is past. Bear his image as we walk. And you know something? You can be called children. You are children of God. And you can call him Father. Amen. Amen.